Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
A little warning before we get into the next item. I'm joined in studio by our pod squad, who this week are looking at a BBC Scotland podcast called Who Killed Emma? If there are little ears listening, the clip we're about to hear and what we're about to discuss does have references to sexual violence, and there is a trigger warning for the rest of the discussion. But here is a clip from Who Killed Emma.
I don't believe you've been telling me the truth.
I'm about to ask a man if he's a killer.
A man raped her that night, and that man was you. Did you kill Emma?
Over 8 episodes, I'm going to tell you about the murder of a young woman, Emma Caldwell. No one's been convicted for Emma's murder.
A police officer came, and a policewoman, and he knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and he said, perhaps you should sit down.
I reported it to the police twice, and still nothing has happened.
This investigation takes us into the unsettling underbelly of Glasgow streets in 2005. The police are under pressure to make an arrest, and a series of unfortunate coincidences leads them far, far down a path they find difficult to return from. 16 years later, this murder remains unsolved. I believe I know who took her life. And I believe many of the police who worked on the case also think they know. And by the end of this, you might know too.
And the pod squad is Dave Hanratty, host of the No More Encore podcast, and News Talk's Sue Murphy. Well, you're both very welcome. I listened to this for the purpose of the show. Producer D. King sent it on to me last Thursday, and I kind of groaned when I saw it. I thought, oh God, because I don't listen to anything like that. I don't like true crime at all. It scares me. I like something light, something fluffy, something to get me away from the realities of life. But I actually went on a real journey with this podcast because it opens your eyes to a lot of what is happening in the world. And it made me really rethink the genre, and that it's well worth you giving your ears to. I kind of realised what a privileged position I had sat in, going, oh no, I don't want to listen to anything scary. So you're a bit similar. You don't really like true crime.
I love true crime. I find I have to take breaks from it. I find it all, like, so I produce Pat Kenny's show in the morning. So I tend to listen to a lot of stuff that can be very hard to deal with. You know, talking about Israel, Ukraine. So then when you go home, it's hard to turn on something that's true crime. So like I listen to a lot of things like Stick to Football, or, you know, I go off into things that'll just keep me entertained. And every now and again, I'll go back to a true crime. And this one I found because I was on LinkedIn, and there's a woman called Jennifer Tracy that I follow, who's the editor on this podcast. And she had put up an explainer about the pod because it had been taken down. So Who Killed Emma had been taken down. And she wrote about how it had been taken down because it was part of an investigation into the death of Emma Caldwell, and how they had put up new episodes. And I was like, where did they get? I must find this. So I went off to listen to it, and that's how I got sucked in. So it's 13 episodes now. It was originally 8.
And we should say we're not going to give any spoilers, because it's actually well worth your ears and your listen. But it was originally 8, and then there is a murder trial, and it's the add-on of that happened. And it's the style of this that really deserves talking about, doesn't it, Dave? The way the journalist Sam Poling and I think her producer Mona McAlinden deserve serious kudos, because they knit the whole thing together beautifully.
Yeah, they definitely do. They absolutely do. It's a tough one with true crime podcasts. I have my misgivings myself, because it's all about, like, is this exploitative? Are we actually leaving the victim behind and using them and using their memory? And of course, they're not here to talk for themselves. Are we using them as a product? And I think some true crime podcasts do that and other ones do not. This is one that does not. This is investigative journalism. This is, you're hearing Sam Poling, the host and the journalist. She's excellent. And you can tell that it's more than just, you know, I'm getting like a juicy story here. I think she actually does care about the people involved. And the way it is put together is quite remarkable at times, because it manages to kind of use the death of this person, the tragic death of this person, Emma Caldwell, who was a 27-year-old sex worker and a heroin addict. She died in 2005. She was killed in 2005, I should say. And use this as a domino effect to explore beyond this and how people treat people like Emma Caldwell and what she became in her life. Because this is someone who came from a very middle-class background and found herself addicted to drugs through personal circumstances. And essentially, one thing I found quite eye-opening was when a police officer is interviewed and he was explaining the social hierarchy of when a sex worker or a prostitute, yeah. and actually the language in the show, they use the word prostitute because prostitutes use the word prostitute. And there's kind of a social debate about that. So you do get these kind of tangents that are quite interesting and educational. The fact that it is that, like, if a body turns up on the streets, it is assessed by the authorities how much this quote unquote matters to society. Were they a sex worker? Did they take drugs? Did they come from a broken home? Were they violent? And this category A, category B, category C, in terms of how much application and man hours and resources and even just general care is going to go into this. In normal circumstances, Emma Caldwell's death would probably be down the ladder. But there are circumstances in this that made it go up the ladder. And it's just wild to hear that that's how people view human beings. When they're in the situation. So yes, from a journalistic perspective, I thought that Sam Poling and her producer and the whole team did an excellent job of putting the structure together while not forgetting the woman at the heart of it.
And it does show the power of investigative journalism, because the police investigation was not leading to a trial. And yet when journalists, there's also an Irish male journalist,
Eamon O'Connor,
yeah. who features in it. And it's their digging that sort of brings everything back to the surface. And yeah. there's real power in that, that we shouldn't just accept headlines sometimes. We shouldn't just accept answers. Sometimes digging that little bit deeper can uncover yeah. all sorts of truths. And some of the learnings that you alluded to, Dave, that was certainly something that opened my eyes in this series. It's so much more than, I don't even like the heading, but the kind of grief porn. You're not just listening along just to say, oh my God, isn't that dreadful? There's a real learning in it.
Yeah, I think the heart of it and what you were getting at, Dave, is that they treat these women with respect. The one thing that got to me when I was listening to it was when she introduced one of the prostitutes came to give evidence to police. They didn't acknowledge her. They spoke to Sam. She wasn't considered a human being as far as they were concerned. And I think that's what's brilliant about it, is she doesn't leave any stone unturned. The amount of women they spoke to, I can only imagine the amount of, like, we're getting 8 episodes, 30 minutes an episode. But the amount of work that has gone into this podcast to speak to every woman they could find. Like, I mean, there were women that wouldn't even speak to them, but they went and chased them, or there were women that had passed away and they had to go out and go away and find about their lives. I think that's amazing. But I also think as well, we listen to these podcasts sometimes in that kind of entertainment vein, and you're like, is this actually doing anything? This did something. And that's what I found amazing about it when I read it first. It was like, wow, they caught a killer. They you know, they get to a point where they are able to point fingers and say, I know who did this. And that's what's amazing about it. Like, imagine they are now at the point where they will have an inquiry into this in Scotland, a public inquiry into it, into the police force, because they did not treat these women with respect. They didn't investigate any of the rapes that were given as evidence in any of the questioning. And all of the women that suffered in the aftermath after Emma's death. That's an amazing thing for a podcast to do. Like, that's incredible investigative journalism. I don't know if anyone gets the chance to do that, really.
It's rare. Yeah, resources. I mean, like, do you have the resources? Do you have the time? Are people devoted enough to even try this? And like I say, the true crime industry is an industry and it's huge. And the biggest podcasts tend to be ones where it's just commentary. It's just two people picking a crime story that journalists have covered and using that for the research. Now, research is work, fair enough. But like, you're not really adding, as you say, this did actually change things for the better.
And I think a lot of those podcasts, they kind of set out to do that. They're like, I'm going to be able to tell you this.
Yeah.
You know, this didn't even come in it like that. It was, we want to shed light on this because she deserves better. I mean, just to give the background to Emma just a little bit as well. She came, it wasn't the broken home thing around there. Her sister died of cancer and she wasn't able to cope with her death. She had parents who were very invested with her, in her. They came and met her every week. They took her laundry. They were still making sure that she was okay. They were still checking in on her. It's not the typical story that you're going to get, that, you know, they come from a broke home and nobody cares about them. She was deeply cared about. Yeah. And I think that's what really gets across.
It's a reminder that anyone can fall through the cracks of society and be forgotten and become a victim and become vulnerable. And then in the aftermath, that there are people who just won't care and will try and sweep it aside. And in this one, I mean, again, look, it is a product. This is, you know, it is a podcast. We can listen to it. But I do believe that the intentions were pure here. I do believe that the work was done.
And the way Sam Poling and her team knit it all together is just incredible. I mean, we're three people that are in the business of creating audio. So I think sometimes it gives us an extra layer of appreciation for how hard it is to do that, because you're talking about so many interviews, so much information to impart. And yet it's actually I don't want to say it's easy to listen to because it can be very dark and difficult at times, but it's presented in such a way that you are able to keep up with a very complicated story. You are able to still feel the human story at the heart of it throughout, because she's got quite a poetic way. Not only is she a brilliant investigative journalist, but she is a beautiful writer and speaker. Yes. And there's a real warmth to it in parts.
I thought she kind of walked the tightrope very, very well at giving you just enough of who she is as a person without making it about her.
Yeah.
Like, there was a very interesting detail where she was saying, like, you know, I never work with other journalists. It's a thing I have in me. I just don't trust them, even though I am one myself. And she finds herself working with another journalist and you have the apprehension about that. But that's not a full episode. It's just an aside. Like, it's a little kind of moment there. Another podcast, maybe a weaker one or a more self-indulgent one, would have an entire episode about here, I'm the host. It's about me. Not at all. It's a tough balancing act, and yes, as you say, she sounds great doing it. I know that's a weird thing to say, but like, to keep it engaging, you have to sound invested. You can fake it. You can be robotic, but she's not. And I think it's, again, like you say, yeah, we all work in audio. It's like, I work on a daily podcast, and like, you know, you got to turn it around very, very quickly. You know, radio is immediate. These things are rare because resources, like I say, you know, like an editor somewhere will say, no, that's going to take years. We can't. Like,
well, it took 19. Yeah.
We need this thing absolutely now. We need it tomorrow. We need it yesterday. So you need to kind of cherish these things, even though, like I say, the subject matter is very heavy, and even though a real person at the heart of this lost their life and never should have, and that can't be forgotten. But if you want to step back for a second and try and assess the thing in front of you, the package, I'm really glad that people did take the time and the effort and the money and waited, because you got to have a lot of patience with putting this stuff together. And again, if you're the one putting it together, you're thinking, well, this might not see the light of day at all.
Yeah, I like the way she sets the scene as well. That's the other thing that really, you know, she really puts you in Glasgow, in the red light district. You can feel it, you can see it. And even, I was reading an article there on BBC, and it's the first time I've actually seen images of the Turkish cafe, and it was exactly as she described it. I was like, that's exactly how I imagined it to look like. That's a really difficult thing to do, to put you in the scene and make you understand what it's like for those girls.
Yeah, that you're in every interview, you're in every conversation, you go on the journey as well. And it's something that has stayed with me. I think I listened to the last episode on the drive home yesterday, and it has stayed with me, not in the way that I thought it would, that I would be scared, but it has opened my eyes to the discussion around gender-based violence, to the stigma we have towards sex workers, drug addicts.
Yeah.
And that's what a podcast like this should do. It should really make you think. What would you like to give it out of 10, Sue?
Oh, well, I'm a bit obsessed with it. I've made everyone in the station listen to it. I'm going to give it 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's an incredible piece of work. It's not just a podcast. It's so much more than that, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel the same. I don't even think 10 is high enough. I was literally obsessed. I couldn't stop listening to it. And the way, like, again, there won't be a spoiler alert, but the way it ended, I mean, I actually felt like applauding, and I was in the car on my way home. It is a beautiful, beautiful piece of work. Could you rate it out of 10, Dave?
It's very hard to put a number on. I find especially true crime podcasts, because again, you're trying to not separate the circumstances and the people.
Victim,
but like, it's an 8 out of 10 in terms of its production value, because it's extremely well done. And I will say, without giving spoilers as well, there is an episode in which a confrontation occurs. And that could have been, again, in the wrong hands, stagey and played up and done to just kind of titillate the listener. It did feel real. Again, you're hearing real-time journalism happening. I can understand if somebody would think that you shouldn't have put that out as an episode, but I think that actually was quite important that they did. I think they made the right calls as they did it.
Yeah, well, it is called Who Killed Emma? It's a BBC Scotland podcast, and it is available now. Highly recommended by our pod squad. Dave Hanratty, host of No More Encore podcast and News Talk's Sue Murphy. Thank you so much.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.